The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. Luke and talk about being persistent in prayer. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
The Schoenstatt Mothers in the Diocese of Corpus Christi cordially invite all women to an Advent Day of Recollection with the Blessed Mother called Meeting Jesus Through the Heart of Mary. The date is Sunday, December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception at the Schoenstatt Movement Center, 4343 Gaines Street in Corpus Christi. Registration begins at 9 a.m. with Holy Mass at 2:30 p.m. For more specific information and to pre-register, call Ana De La Rosa, 361-688-2829.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Well, Barbara, how are you? And hope everyone out there is listening is doing well today.
I know. It's hard to believe. We're in the throes of fall, I guess.
Yes. I've seen some Christmas lights up already.
I know.
It's amazing.
I've seen Christmas trees decorated in the stores. But we need to appreciate October.
Right. Exactly.
Well, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Okay. This is taken from the 18th chapter of St. Luke's gospel. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, render a just decision for me against my adversary. For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, while it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. The Lord said, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones, who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, you mentioned in the beginning that this is this gospel came from Luke 18, and this Sunday's gospel is the first of two parables from 18. We'll have one, of course, this Sunday, and then the next one will be next Sunday.
Right.
And they both offer a perspective on persistence.
Right. Well, it's certainly persistence in prayer, and I'd like to maybe emphasize the word insistence in prayer and not saying prayers, because I think many of us have the notion that prayer is saying prayers and getting a duty over with, you know, or saying my prayers, saying this in this time of day or before meals, after meals, etc. But prayer is a state of life that Jesus calls for to pray always. St. Paul speaks of praying always as well. So he's really, you know, several times in the gospel we see Jesus not only praying in praying to his Father, being in a state of prayer, which we notice many times he went off alone to pray. At the end of his life, he prayed to the Father, a very specific prayer that this cup would pass by, but always saying, not my will, but yours be done. So, and then when the disciples came and asked him to teach them to pray, he taught them what we call the Our Father. So he certainly was a man of prayer. He certainly was God. in union with his Father. So prayer is that union with God. And so he wants to again emphasize what prayer is and components of prayer, part of prayer. And what we have today, as you said, is the persistence in prayer, that, as I said, it becomes really a state in life. It becomes a way of life in everything.
Right. And so in this gospel, we have the widow coming to the judge. And as I was preparing for this morning, I read that this was a different judge than what the normal judges of that time was. I mean, he was more deceitful or dishonest,
right.
I guess we could say.
I guess most scripture scholars would say that he was a judge that was either appointed by Herod or by the Romans. So he was not, let's say, a judge of the people, a judge within the law, trying to promote the justice for the people, the Jewish people and the Jewish community. He was from outside, you might say. And so, you know, whenever anyone is a visitor or appointed, they take their position more as a duty than actually a mission to render justice for people, to really be with the people, among the people, and to help them to find justice. So he was appointed, and therefore he could probably be bribed if you have the money.
And of course, this widow was probably very poor and wouldn't have been able to pay him anything.
Right, exactly. That's the point that Jesus is bringing out here, that the poor, and this poor woman, this widow who kept asking, it wasn't just a one time, she kept coming back, asking him for justice. And what, of course, we don't know what the issue was, mm-hmm. but obviously just wanting justice in her life. And couldn't pay, couldn't bribe him with anything. So she has no means. And the only means that she has is to be persistent, to continue asking and asking and asking. And as any human being would be in a situation like that, the judge got worn down, mm-hmm. worn out and worn down by her persistence. And so he finally gives in to render a just judgment. What I think is interesting, again, looking into the character, because what Jesus is doing here is contrasting God, the Father, and the evil judge. And so it's interesting that that the judge fears neither God nor human beings. He has no respect for anyone,
right,
but himself and probably his position, and probably is very proud of his position and made his livelihood on that, being bribed.
Bribed,
and,
right.
And being
it was all
paid.
About him.
Right, right. So, you know, he doesn't stand on any kind of principles, on any kind of morals in rendering judgment. He simply is paid for his judgment. So that's something that Jesus wants to emphasize here. But what he's bringing out is showing the persistence of the widow. And so when Jesus then turns and looks at God's way, let me go back a little bit, because he says, if I don't judge, give a just decision, she may come and strike me.
And that's an interesting comment, because he feared that she might hit him.
So he can kind of imagine the stature of a man he was. They probably had they didn't have baseball bats, but some kind of a club or some kind of a fist. And so he couldn't have been that big of a guy. So it's kind of a little, kind of a little wormy kind of situation there. But
right.
His whole strength was in his power to render judgment or just refuse it. So anyway, but it's funny, he kind of feared her coming back and giving him a black eye, which is kind of humorous. But then Jesus moves on, really, but he says, pay attention. I think that's in the third paragraph there, probably around verse 6, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says, that he fears neither God nor man, but this woman keeps bothering me. So what the point that Jesus wants to point out in reference to God, who secures our rights, secures us by his own love, whether it's day or night, that it's that persistence on our part of prayer. Again, living a life of prayer, which means living a life of dependence on God's mercy and God's love, then he will not be slow to respond. Again, there are many of us who perhaps would say, well, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, but I haven't seen anything. So what are you talking about? He's not slow. But it's from the point of view that we have, because the final question is, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's the key question in a life of prayer. Is prayer based out of faith, or is it personal need, personal want that we do? So, in other words, I'm on and off with a life of with God. You know, I have this, I can't do it, so I go to the just judge, who is God, and you give it to me. But that's not faith.
Kind of like back pocket faith.
That's right. That's not faith, yeah. So faith is really a life with God, of showing that we depend on God, and that God is Father, and God knows what we need, when we need it, and through what means we need it. So all of those things that we think we are in control of, we realize that God, who is Father, greater than our own life, our own Father, that he knows better than we do. So Jesus is secure in saying that he will see that justice is done speedily for them. But it depends, and it goes back on that notion of faith. Will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith in us? You know, last man standing could be even, you know, so many of us maybe give up. So many of us expect things of God or expect things from others, and we don't get it within a week or 10 days, a month, 2 years, we give up. And this is not prayer. This is not faith.
Right. You mentioned that, you know, God was like our Father. Of course, it's like a parent-child relationship. You know, the child may want something, but the father knows that it's not, or the parent knows that it's not good for the child in the long run. You know, God sees that whole big picture for us that we don't see. And so even though we may pray for something specific and really want it, God's the only one that knows what's the best thing for us.
Exactly. That's a good point. And I think if any of us look at our own life and relationship to our mothers and fathers, and as kids growing up, how we wanted certain things, wanted to go places, wanted to hang around with certain people, go to certain events, and they wouldn't let us. And I would encourage parents to please not give in.
To persistence of children.
Right. I'm speaking from personal experience, too, is to this is the role of a parent, is to guide the child, knowing from experience, and of course God, from an overall, as you said, view of history, life, future. It's all in his hands. He knows. And so our life of faith is being subjected to that kind of a loving father, as we were to our parents as well. And that's where conscience comes in, training in the faith, morality, except all those things come in. So that's something maybe we could continue with after our break.
After our break. Right. Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation about being persistent in prayer. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Sunday, January 12th is the date for the 2020 Silver and Gold Anniversary Mass at Corpus Christi Cathedral. On that occasion, couples who are celebrating 25 and 50 years of sacramental marriage will be recognized. The Office of Laity, Family, and Life invites couples to this televised and web-streamed Mass at 9:30 a.m. with Bishop Michael Mulvey presiding. Certificate presentations to the recognized married couples, professional photo opportunities with the bishop, and refreshments will follow in St. Joseph's Hall beneath the cathedral. Honorees may register now and receive additional instructions at diocesecc.org/anniversary mass. If you still need more information, call the Diocese Office of Laity, Family, and Life at 361-882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, we were talking about, well, it's kind of an analogy between, the relationship between a parent and a child being persistent in what they want, and then our relationship with God and us being persistent in prayer with what we think we need.
Right.
And how those two can be similar.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that I thought, when you mentioned that before the break, I thought, a child is persistent in nagging. And
true.
That beautiful
or
word.
Or whining.
Whining, nagging, and all those kind of things. And it's easy for a parent to give in, but this is not the type of response that this is more like the judge. Of course, not that a parent is like the evil judge, but I mean, it's too easy to give in. And that's where we as human beings stand on principles. We stand on a certain morality. And we have to be firm in that and firm in our response, et cetera, because that's love. That's knowing that this could be harmful to a child or harmful to someone. And so we stand on that as a man or a woman of faith, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, standing on principles that this is not good, period. Amen. And you can nag all you want. That's being a good father. That's being a good mother. What Jesus is speaking of here is persistence in faith, persistence in prayer. In other words, it's trusting, first of all, and that's the part of faith, trusting that I know that God, I mean, that's where you're trusting a person, trusting a God who has become incarnate in Jesus Christ, a person who is a loving Father. And that's where faith comes in. It's not praying as if I'm nagging that he'll give up and answer me. No, it's praying because I trust that what God sees as best for me will come to fruition if I remain persistent in faith, again, trusting, faith being trusting in this sense, and in prayer, expressing that trust, expressing that faith in prayer. Always saying, and of course the best, the conclusion of every prayer should be as it was Jesus's final prayer, both in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross. If you look, it's both. Father, may this cup pass away from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? And then the final words, into your hands I commend my spirit. So there is the model of a person who prays. Jesus, of course, incarnating the love of God in himself and demonstrating to us all aspects of our relationship with God and with one another, love of God and love of neighbor. And in prayer, that final prayer is always for a person of faith, for a person who trusts, Father, not my will, but yours be done, because it's better than mine, first right. of all. Or into your hands I commend my spirit. Into your hands I commend this situation. And then we let go of it mm-hmm. in the sense that we don't nag. Thinking we're going to get our way, but we're trusting. That's an incredible act of faith for any person, especially in very difficult situations, to simply say, into your hands, I commend my own spirit, but also this situation.
Mm-hmm. I trust that what's going to happen is what you want it to happen for me, whether I think it's the best
thing. And what that's best for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, we're thinking with our heads instead of our hearts.
Right, right.
Well, I was looking in the Catechism, in regards to prayer, and paragraph 2098 says, and it's a definition. It says the acts of faith, hope, and charity enjoined by the first commandment are accomplished in prayer. Lifting up the mind toward God is an expression of our adoration of God. Prayer of praise and thanksgiving, intercession and petition. Prayer is an indispensable condition for being able to obey God's commandments. We ought to always pray and not lose heart. And, of course, part of that comes from Luke chapter 18,
right.
verse 1.
Yeah, to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. I mean, it's to have a total trust. I mean, this is the life of mature faith. And, of course, it takes a while, and it takes many experiences in life to really be able to come to that. I mean, when we look at our own life, the way we approach life, the way that we pray is different today than what it was back then. We probably nagged a lot and got angry. I didn't get my way, etc. But a person of faith is also a person of hope. and then a person of charity who's willing to sacrifice him or herself for others. All these are part of our coming to our Father, who knows more than we do and is more than we are, let's put it that way, so that we can adore him, praise him, give him thanks, intercede, and petition him. But again, at the end, it's that, into your hands I commend my spirit. There's a beautiful image I wanted to point out also in the first reading today at Mass from the book of Exodus in chapter 17, where Amalek comes and is waging war on the Israelites, and they go to Moses for help, and Moses lifts up his hands on top of the mountain as he's watching them kind of progress toward the people of Israel. But as long as, the book of Exodus says, as long as Moses held his hands up, in other words, in intercession, in prayer, trusting that God would not leave his people, the people of God alone, that the Israelites had the upper hand. When he got tired or he let his hands down, the Amalek and his troops got the better hand. So, and it's a beautiful image to us of continually lifting up our hands.
Because it was over quite a period of time.
Right. And not so much physically, but I mean just spiritually, that we continue a life that is always saying, into your hands I commend my spirit. I mean, that's the persistence that we find in the parable today of the judge and the widow. So holding up our hands always.
Mm-hmm. Well, once again, it's a beautiful gospel and a lot for us to reflect on. So I wanted to mention that today is World Mission Sunday, and it's celebrated throughout the entire church all over the world. And you've had some experiences recently with mission work.
Yes. You know, this is something that, in fact, I can say that I think my vocation, I think pushing me over the hill, you know, of accepting my vocation really came on a World Mission Sunday in the parish that I was in. I was still in college, but went to Mass in the local parish there. And the priest, I kind of always had a sense of maybe wanting to be a missionary. And but anyway, obviously I'm here, but we're always, all right. of us, but I think too, I mean, something, we're all on mission. It's part of our nature as being men and women of faith. It's not just our local church, our local parish, our local diocese that defines us as Catholic. Catholic means universal. And so this day is celebrated in the Catholic Church throughout the world to make all of us aware that we are people who have mission. We're part of the missions, the missionary activity of the church. Anyway, the priest in the homily just said, who knows, but in our own parish, maybe someday the Lord would call forth a missionary. Well, I exploded inside and I said, that's me. He's talking. I didn't say anything out loud, obviously,
right.
But that is,
you felt it.
Is I, you know, I'm the one being called to that. And so that began my time to go and talk to the pastor and kind of discern with him, and then eventually with the bishop and the community there, that it was not the mission so much, but the diocese. But so I've always had this openness to the missions, and we all should, we must, or else we're not Catholic, we're not universal in that sense. And I say that to people of all denominations and all faiths. We need to be missionary by nature. So World Mission Sunday. So I think, you know, a few years ago, I went to Pakistan and gave a retreat there. But most recently, as you know, I was in the Philippines to visit the SALT community that's there. But, you know, you really touch faith, a simple faith, the faith of the poor, faith of the wealthy. I think the part that really touches you is being with the poor and just that simple faith, and you realize that that's what they have. That defines them with great joy and great dignity. I think, you know, faith gives a person a great sense of their dignity, that they're loved by God, they're children of God, and that's something that always should be instilled in us. So every year in October, the church celebrates this World Mission Sunday, where we're all asked to give, and I know sometimes that's hard for people to understand, but to give our resources to the missions, which goes to a unified society, propagation of the faith, and is distributed where needed throughout the world
in different missions. So the donations that will be taken up in our diocese go to like the USCCB?
Pontifical Missions Society, and the Propagation of the Faith was called. Mm-hmm. And so all of this is resourced out to one fund where it is distributed across the globe. So it's a very organized thing.
They have the big picture.
They have the big picture. Right. So it is organized, and I would want people to know that it's very organized. But also another part of this is, so we have this in October, but then all through the year, I and every bishop in the world receives requests from independent missionaries. I mean, dioceses, religious communities, et cetera, they have to be registered with this group of the Pontifical mm-hmm. Mission Society. They have to be registered with them. But they send us, and we invite missionaries to come in. So that's mm-hmm. where in the spring, summer, and even finishing up now in the fall, we're visited in our parishes by missionaries. And that's to keep us aware and alive of that the church is missionary. And so I'm now at the point of receiving those letters for next year, and we'll be meeting with a group to kind of assign those. So the missions are very, very important to us. And again, having been there and experienced the conditions, they need our help.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had one of the missionary priests come speak with us who had the missions in Africa. And it was so interesting because they're looking for seminarians, and then they have a clinic that helps the people with the orphanage with the children that have HIV. And it just touches your heart tremendously.
Well, the mission that I visited there has a factory or plant to process and purify water, because water is a tremendous – it's necessary, but clean water is not available. And so they have this – salination plant or whatever. I don't understand the whole process, but it's beautiful, and they have their little mark, on the bottle that it's a gift from God, and so it's a beautiful thing just to be able to hand out or to sell water to people cheap so that they can have good water.
So it extends outside of our world.
Way outside.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bishop. So if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty ever-living God, grant that we may always conform our will to yours and serve your majesty in sincerity of heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.